All right. Have you identified the show? There you go. It is Family Feud. Hosted by Mr. Steve Harvey. That is a fun game. I remember, even back as a young lad, watching that game and trying to figure out the answers to those questions as they went by. And I was sure hoping to hear that nice high-pitched ding sound indicating that I got it right. I got to tell you, most of the time I got it wrong. But watching those families and others just compete against each other, what a fun time. Now, when I was watching it, because I don't have as much time to watch the game shows now as I did when I was a child, but when I was watching it back in the day, I was watching the first host, Richard Dawson. Wow, what a way he had about him. Richard Dawson, hosting the Family Feud. Of course, it's 2019. We have a different host. I mentioned him, Steve Harvey. Wow, but what a game. What a game. I really enjoy it. Once in a while, I get to watch a little bit now. And it's still fun. It's just as much fun now, to me anyway, as when I was a child. How many of you can second that emotion? That you really enjoy Family Feud, especially those of you who were able to watch it as children, as teens, and now you're adults, and you still enjoy it. All right. Speaking of teens, let's take a look at this teens and romance. What would you say that teens, what kinds of relationships, what can teens do as teens that would improve their chances of having romantic satisfaction years later? Well, teenage years mark the beginning of romantic attraction and the time to begin exploring dating, romance, and, although this should not be the case, but it is, sex. Moreover, and I say shouldn't be, oh man, there are just so many challenges and dramas that come with teenage sex. Of course, there's a lot of drama and there are a lot of challenges that come with adult sex, particularly when people are married and having sex outside of marriage. You talk about drama and challenges. Yeah, it's so much better when we keep it simple. But anyway, looking at our teens, those years are often viewed as symbols of status, you know, when they're dating, when they're engaging in romance, even when they're engaging in sexual activity. Often those experiences are viewed as symbols of status among teens, with more frequent dating and more sexual experiences as markers of greater social standing. And don't try not to get too far gone with this notion that as the males engage sexually, they're considered to be studs, and as the females engage sexually, they're considered to be whores. Not necessarily, especially in 2019. You know, if that were the case, you wouldn't have so many females who talk with other females about their sex life, and they brag about their sexual conquest and speak with excitement about what it is about this person that seems to be so much better than the other three or four that they had been with, and they're comparing notes with each other. Even married women talking to other married women about their adulterous affairs. So I'm just saying, I understand when people say, when males, whether teens or adults, are engaging sexually, they're considered to be studs. They're considered to be, oh man, just really on top of things, and literally on top of things. And females are really engaged, they're considered to be whores. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And I mean that, I think that that has always been overplayed. I mean, because 40 years ago, females were talking with each other about conquests. And you had groupies 40 and 50 years ago. Groupies, those women who follow rock stars and R&B stars, and they're hanging out waiting at their dressing rooms, waiting to have sex with them. They're there for that reason, and there may be 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Think about on the dance floor back when disco was really, really huge. And there would be times when, well, there was a lot of sexual activity going on. You think about the age of free sex in the 60s. Those men weren't, you know, just indulging in sex with other men. They were indulging in sex with women. And the women were indulging in sex with the men. And both parties were considered to be doing something that was really, really great, really revolutionary. And they weren't making it, nobody, society wasn't making a difference with how the women were viewed and how the men were viewed. Some of the places where they were hanging out, where that 24/7 music was going, those that 24/7 live music was going, the bands just playing and playing and playing, and so many of the people literally walking around in the nude, males and females galore, walking around in the nude, and not just at the parks and the other venues where the bands were playing. They would leave those areas and go to the restaurants around town, and they did not put their clothes on to go to the restaurants. They would go to the restaurants naked, totally naked, just like they were men, not all of them, but many, just like they were at the parks. And this is my point. I'm not judging. I'm simply saying, as storekeepers and restaurant workers were engaging these people, they weren't saying negative things about the women being naked as they approached, and saying positive things about the men as they approached naked. It was all or none. Those people who were upset about people walking around naked were upset about both genders walking around naked. And the ones who were not offended at all weren't offended with either gender being naked. As in the 60s, I'm simply saying we've played that up, I think, for more than it's worth, this notion that women really get a much harder, are given a much harder time for being sexually active than men. I've been in conversations where women have talked about their conquest, their sexual conquest, talked about how they just wanted fun. That's all they were interested in. They did not want commitments. If women were catching it as bad as people sometimes say, there's no way women would bring up some of the conversations about sex that they bring up. So I'm just saying, as we go through this discussion, don't be bringing it, don't have your mind clogged with this whole notion that the teen girls are going to have a much, much different response than teen boys. I think in the real world, it's about the same. I think in the real world, the people who are upset about teens being sexually active are upset about males and females being sexually active. And those who are not upset aren't upset about either gender being sexually active. Can you imagine, especially teen girls dogging other teen girls because they're all being sexually active? And very often, the girls who are, who have decided they're going to, and the boys who have decided they're going to maintain their virginity until they're married, are the ones who have the least to say about it. The ones who talk the most are the ones who engage the most. Can you imagine the ones who are engaging the most dogging each other about engaging? I'm just saying. All right, so don't let that Don't let that bog you down. Let's just flow through this exploration. Symbols of status among adolescents, male and female, the dating and the sexual experiences are seen as symbols of status amongst male and female adolescents, and they're seen as markers of greater social standing. All right. More on teens and romance in just a few.